So I have the great and wonderful honor to do communion today, okay? And why don't you guys sit down for a moment? I am going to share a little bit before we jump into communion. I will direct the communion ushers and servants and stuff in a few moments, so don't feel like you have to freak out and run up here. It'll take a few moments, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to share. I am going to read, obviously, through a classic passage when we actually go through communion, just because I think it's great. What does the Bible say about communion, right? But what I want to do first is I want to give you something that the Lord really put on my heart many years ago when I started to think about communion. And there's really no way to do this other than to read a lot of scripture for a moment. So please bear with me. I really tried to like minimize the amount I needed to read, but it just didn't happen. So go to Genesis 43 for those of you that have your Bibles. We'll start at verse 16 and we will go all the way to, let's see here, yeah, to Revelation, perfect. To 34, so the end of the chapter. And I'm reading out of the ESV this time around. If you have your phone, you can go to that actual version, but let's read it. When Joseph saw Benjamin, well, let me give you a little preface here as for the, any of you that don't know the story, but basically Joseph is put into slavery by his brothers, actually left for dead, turned into slavery. He goes in this really radical, cool story of how Joseph was, you know, obviously not welcome in the Egyptian country, but over some time and God's favor and different things, he rises to a place of power, which is like unprecedented. Doesn't make any sense, still doesn't make any sense. And what's really cool about this story, as we're about to read, is that actually Joseph, I know some people look at it this way, but I definitely have been just shown by the Lord that this is a good way to look at Jesus, because Jesus was also, you know, given essentially like a slave. But what did he do? He rose to power. Right? He rose to power. Obviously, after he died and all of that, he became king of all kings. And it's a very similar story in a lot of ways. And so we can look at this part of the passage very much like we can look at when we come to the table and we partake in communion. So let's read it together. When Joseph saw Benjamin, which was his little brother, they don't know that it's his little brother, you know, spoiler alert. They don't know that Joseph is their brother. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready for the men. For the men are to dine with me at noon." So, by the way, it's not normal for this to happen, for them to invite anybody, really anybody outside of their country to come in and dine with them at all, okay? That's not normal, but especially those from those tribes, right? And the men to dine with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. And they said, "It is because of the money, which was replaced in our sacks at the first time, that we are brought in, so that he may assault us and fall upon us to make us servants and seize our donkeys." So essentially, you know, what happened was that they snuck some money into their sacks when they were going home, and they felt guilty. They came back, and anyway, so it's a big deal because they think that they've been, hoodwinked, or whatever the word would be, that they're going to now be killed or be assaulted because they stole money, but they really didn't steal money. So they had fear. So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, my Lord, we came down the first time to buy food. And when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack. our money is full weight. So we have brought it again with us, and we have brought other money down with us to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. He replied, "Peace to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. And when the man had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they had washed their feet, as you guys know, washing of feet and all that kind of stuff, it's a pretty intimate thing. It's also a really a big deal that these type people are being washed by these type people, right? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, much like later on when we hear that Jesus washes feet and all that kind of stuff, right? They had washed their feet, and when he had given their donkeys fodder, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present that they had with them and bowed down to him to the ground. And he inquired about their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. He's a true man, right? Like, he doesn't want to show tears or whatever, like, to these people, especially because it doesn't make any sense for him to have any compassion for some random dudes that happen to be at his house, right? Like, it just seems really strange. He washed his face and came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Obviously, that gives clarity to some of the things I was sharing earlier. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, which this is crazy, right? Like, he shouldn't know these birthrights, right? He shouldn't know this, and they don't really understand what's going on. He sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Here's the deal, guys. When you guys come to the table, this is a very similar picture, is that Jesus, like, you do not deserve to go to his table. Like, it's very clear, you do not deserve it. You are a sinner. You've screwed up at least one time in your life, and that does not allow you to come to a king's table or to a high places or a high person's table, right? Like, it just doesn't do that. But what's awesome is that Jesus invites you, regardless of your status, of what you've done, to the table. And this is a really big deal for us believers, because we flippantly take communion a lot. And I mean, I'm not going to rank on, like, McDonald's vibe stuff, right? Like, it is what it is. But seriously, I want to encourage you, this is kind of a side note, but if you need to be doing communion at your home with your family at the table with real bread and real red stuff and grape juice. I'll just say grape juice, okay? So you guys need to really do this for real sometimes, because if you don't do it for real, you're not going to understand the importance of looking into the eyes of those at the table and then closing your eyes and praying together, because that is what was happening when we obviously read what's happening actually in, I believe we're going to read out of Luke, okay? So let's go to Mark, we're going to do Mark. And this is important because you don't deserve to be at that table. I have had an experience in my past where I was able to sit at a very famous person's table, okay? I'm not going to share who it is, but I sat at a famous person's table. They invited me over to their house. I have no clue why I'm at this house. I don't understand it, and I'm sitting there, and they're just giving me, like, really nice food. I mean, literally one plate was probably, like, $100 each plate, you know, and they had all these different, you know, meals or different courses and everything. And so it was just a crazy place to be. I didn't understand why I was there. They just happened to like me enough that they wanted me to come over and spend time with them. It was in the music world. So anyway, and I'm sitting there and I remember asking them a simple question. I was like, you know, I don't really, like, I'm glad I'm here. This is really wonderful, but I don't, why did you invite me here? You know, why am I here? And I just remember, I don't remember the exact words that they said, but what I will tell you is that somehow this guy, even though he's not a believer, he was showing me the grace of God in a lot of ways, because he was like, no, like he said something like, when you come into my house, we no longer have status. None of this exists anymore. Like, you are my friend. I don't know about you guys, but I need to hear that sometimes, because I do sometimes think of God as this untouchable God. Am I the only one here that sometimes feels like he's an untouchable God? Like, there's like, I want to give him all the majesty, all the glory and all the majesty and everything and all the honor. I prayed in the back where I said, God, it's not that I want you to, like, I don't want to do this to make you famous, although that's a good thing, but I want to make you revered. I want people to know that you deserve reverence, right? Amen, right? And so, but with that concept, somehow Jesus is still considered a friend as well. And so not only is he revered and he's almighty and he is the creator God, and you know, he was there at the beginning, will be there forever, all eternity, all these things, that God invites you and you know, you guys making jokes and just having a great time together at the table as well. Like, this is a big deal, because it's not that you're just invited and you're like, okay, that you're there. He wants you there. He wants you there. There's another passage where it talks about how he prepares a table before your enemies. That is a big deal. It's like, not only are you at the table with him, but you're at the table staring at your enemies. There's other places in the Psalms where it talks about how God laughs at your enemies. It's like, I don't know, the table's a big deal. And so I want to take the reverence, or the time to really revere him today at this table, but also be thankful for his friendship. And they both exist. So let's, I will have now the ushers. I have like a whole, like, you guys have, sorry, they have like a whole way that you guys do it here. So I have to actually read this. Sorry, guys. Ask the men leaders to come up. So, men leaders, come up. Okay, so yeah, there's gonna be some ushers and guys up here, and they're going to have, you guys are gonna have buckets in your hand. Is that kind of the deal? And then we're gonna sing a song, this song connects very much with what I just read, but it's all about the bread of life. It's basically the communion in a song. Okay, while we're singing this song, I'm gonna encourage you to come up. Grab it from them. And I think they had requested that, like, one representative of your family comes up. So if you have, like, husband and wife here, you have some kids or whatever, grab a few with you to go take to your seat. Is that right? Oh. But you go to certain spots. I failed. But anyway, it's fine. Okay, find a dude with a bucket, okay? Very simple. Dude with a bucket, grab it, and come back to your seats, and then we will partake together afterwards, okay?